This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Saturday. Another rainy Saturday in Pittsburgh. It seems like that's all we've been getting here for the last month and a half. And I know a lot of people lost power for a long time. Some people are still without it. So hopefully you're getting by and be patient out there. I know those workers are working hard at it, and it's difficult to do a cleanup when you have 95-mile-an-hour winds destroying things in the path. So I know it can be stressful, but you'll get through it like everybody else, and it just takes time. So that's my advice on the day, because I still know there are people, we have gone through it. Everyone goes through it, and you just got to make the best of it. 412-928-9370, that is the number to call. Bob Pompeiani here with Matty Harkins behind the glass today at 412-928-9370. Hit me up on Twitter at KD Pomp. I want to remind you that the fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. So, it's been a pretty busy week of things happening. Concluded the NFL draft, which, by the way, did 13.6 million viewers. Second most watched draft ever. And I got a feeling that next year the Pittsburgh Steelers and the city of Pittsburgh will get together, and the viewing audience on that one will be even bigger. I know plans have been underway. It's sort of like the USGA and the way the NFL operates. They look 3 or 4 years down the road. They have crews that are assigned to different places. For example, if this year was Green Bay, they started last year on Green Bay. Pittsburgh, they've already started from last year. And then the people working on the Green Bay draft go to the next draft location. They're already underway. It's a complicated process. It's like the USGA and how they kind of leapfrog one another with their crews, just getting U.S. Open set 2 or 3 years down the line. You have to do it. It's that big of an undertaking. And that's what we're going to see here coming up in June. The U.S. Open comes to Oakmont Country Club. And they had some damage, although it was minor compared to what a lot of people had in terms of their homes. And they should be fine getting back on track for a June 9th week of U.S. Open action at Oakmont Country Club. We'll get into that a little bit later. Today's also the Kentucky Derby. It looks like it's going to be a rainy one down there. And for the record, I know nothing about Derby action. I like watching it. 20-horse field, I look at names that I think are names that might win. Two that stuck out to me, Citizen Bull and American Promise. And that's what I'm going to go by, American Promise at 30-1. Why not make some money if you can? All right, we're going to start this conversation with talking about hockey and Mike Sullivan, 38th head coach of the New York Rangers. Do you realize they've had four head coaches since 2021? Peter Laviolette was the last one there. He got fired. He took them to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. But Chris Drury and the Rangers get impatient. Drury got a new contract ahead of what Mike Sullivan did, so you knew that was coming. They worked together on Four Nations, and certainly they had a history back even when Mike Sullivan was an assistant coach with the Rangers and Drury was a player there. So that was a relationship that had been ongoing, so it's not a surprise that he ends up being the head coach with, even though we don't know details, it'll be the most lucrative contract ever given to a head coach. And Sullivan has a resume that would demand that. It looks like John Tortorella would be on his staff in New York. That's one of the rumors you hear. Nothing has been made official there, but they have a relationship also that goes back when Torts was the head coach and Sullivan was the assistant there. So that will take care of itself. I don't know, you know, the Ranger roster sometimes has some interesting holes to it. They're also challenged with some age. Guys have been around for a while, but they do have a good goaltender in Shesterkin. And that's something that Mike Sullivan has been wrestling with here for the last couple of years, inconsistent goaltending. Igor Shesterkin is one of those guys who they gave a lot of money to, and he is a number one goalie. All things can change very quickly when you watch goaltenders. If you watch the Winnipeg Jets series with the Blues, you know what I'm talking about. Connor Hellebuck, who was terrific all throughout the season, and he's had a nice resume on his you know, in his career when you look at his playoff numbers prior to the last 2 years. But in the playoffs in the last 2 years, it has been bad for Connor Hellebuck. 8.14 save percentage. So he was yanked in all three games against the St. Louis Blues in St. Louis. So the Blues even it up last night, winning 5-2. Hellebuck gave up a lot of goals, 4 and 8 shots in the second period. He got yanked for Eric Comrie. So that series is now tied 3-3. And they go back to Winnipeg, where Hellebuck has played better there than he has on the road in these playoffs. But the question is, if you're the head coach of the Winnipeg Jets, what do you do? Do you stick with a guy who is a Vezina Award winner and will be again in Connor Hellebuck? Or do you go with Eric Comrie, who is, in his time in there, has been a good goaltender. Not great, but good. What do you do? What would you do? I'd like to hear it. It's a tough situation to be in because the Jets had the number one record in the entire NHL, and they are facing now a first-round ouster at the hands of the St. Louis Blues, largely because of Connor Hellebuck and goaltending. 412-928-9370. Also, the people in Denver have an interesting choice to make tonight. You know, they're Colorado Avalanche play a game 7, but it just so happens to be at the same night and also pretty much same time as the Denver Nuggets play a game 7. The Nuggets will be home in Denver against the LA Clippers, and the Avalanche will be at Dallas at 8 p.m. The Clipper game starts at 7:30 p.m. So two within, you're going to do a lot of channel surfing there if you're a Denver sports fan, that's for sure. Interesting note about Colorado and Denver, by the way. Jared Bednar, who's the head coach of the Colorado Avalanche, with all the talent he's had, he's 0-3 in game sevens. When you look at Dallas and Peter DeBoer, now this extends beyond his time in Dallas, they're 8-0 in game sevens. So that makes you think that Dallas should win this. Dallas was my pick to win the Stanley Cup, by the way. But, you know, they were dealing with a ton of injuries. I had my own doubts about that just because of the injuries. But they're getting healthier as they go, and they got a lot of talent on that team. So that'll be an interesting watch. And then with the Clippers in Denver, Denver is home. They're favored to win. But the Clippers have a couple of guys who can and have been there and done that, and James Harden and others. But the bottom line is it's going to be tough on Colorado sports fans, Denver specific. What do you do? You go back and forth, you record one, not watch the other. What would be your way of doing it, Maddie? Would you watch both? Would you tape one and hopefully nobody, but don't look at social media and just watch one and then go to the other when it's done?
Well, I have to set up in my basement of the small TV in the corner and the main TV.
So you watch both at the same time. Okay, yes. If you don't have that luxury, what would you do?
I'm a channel flipper, so I would flip back and forth.
Yeah, but you're going to miss key parts of every game. You really will. There could be a check that turns things around, a high-sticking penalty that you didn't see, that you had no idea. And in this day of interactive, you know, social media posts, it's kind of interesting to be on it when you're watching games. I like exchanging ideas with people on things that happen, but you can't do it with two games. At least I don't think you can. By the way, since I'm on an NBA mention here, last night, the Houston Rockets, which are a team I thought would beat Golden State, even though they're young and inexperienced largely, but they won, not only game five at home. They went to Golden State last night and won a game six. Impressive defensive showing as they just were all over Steph Curry in particular. Houston wins 115-107, so they will also host a game seven tomorrow night against Golden State in Houston. And they have a bunch of young guys on that team. Houston's going to be heard from for many years. Şengün, their center, 22 years old. He had 21 points, 14 rebounds. And Fred VanVleet is a guy they brought in to complement this young group. And he had 29 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. And I bring that up only because it's the one thing that I can make sort of an analogy and a comparison with the Pittsburgh Pirates, who lost again last night, as you know. Houston had a young team. They have some really good potential superstar players, or at least very good NBA players. But they know they needed some help. So they brought in a couple of guys who have experience and who can help them with the young guys. And we saw one last night in VanVleet, who's won a championship before in Toronto. And he stepped up when he had to. And it's a good thing to do when you have a younger team or when you have some potential superstar players who are young to bring in guys who have gone through this before. And that's one thing the Pirates did not do in this offseason. They had a generational player who they know they had to build around, and yet they failed to do it, really. Now, you can argue that you brought in a 37-year-old Tommy Pham. Okay, what has Tommy Pham done? Although he is better defensively than I think anyone thought, he leads the Major League left fielders and defensive runs saved, but his hitting is 170, one of the worst OPSs. He was supposed to be brought in, and he wouldn't exactly be the kind of guy I thought would bring what I just described, like a Fred VanVleet. You know what I mean? You need other people to come in and give yourself a legit good players who can put up good points, who are younger than 37, and the Pirates really haven't done that. I don't know if that's a contributing factor to what they've done. Probably is to some degree, but a bigger one is just not drafting the right people and developing enough hitters. And if you don't have hitters, you got to go out and get some hitters. And they didn't do either of those. One other thing about that game as I dance around here, Maddie, I thought this was interesting too. Steven Adams, you remember him? He played for Pitt for the 1 year. And Jamie should have used him a lot more, knowing it was a one-and-done situation.
Yes.
Well, he was on the floor a lot last night, and they employed the Hack-a-Shack, but it was the Hack-a-Adams. Steve Kerr did that because he has a history of not making big numbers at the foul line. He misses a lot. But they did it repeatedly last night, and Steven Adams made a lot of foul shots, 9 of 16. You wouldn't have expected that. And two of the misses turned out to be putbacks by the Houston Rockets. So if your strategy is to foul Steven Adams, put him on the line, and make him miss, you better darn well get the rebound if you're Golden State. And on two occasions, this big Şengün guy I talked about got the offensive rebound and putback. So even though he went 9 of 16, two of those turned out to be four points anyway. So it didn't work. And Golden State's in a heap of trouble right now, even with Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry, really their only two players, I think. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. This has also been some time now since the NFL draft has concluded. And you know what the Steelers did. Do you like it? Do you think they hit on the things they needed to hit on? Aaron Rodgers continues to just wait, and it's a waiting game that could go on. It's a very interesting thing, though, because the schedule release for the NFL is coming up on May the 14th, and that's a big night. You know, they'll get big ratings on that. I know we have a 30-minute special coming up on it on KDKA Plus that night, and we're going to go over it all. So if the NFL wants the Steelers, and they always do, they're going to get their share of games. But if Aaron Rodgers happens to be on that team as well, you know, and you would assume that's the case, but if you don't know by schedule release time, you may not get it. If you remember when Rodgers went to New York, immediately the Jets, who were never on primetime games, went 6 of them. And they ended up going 5-12 that year because Rodgers got injured right off the bat. But the point is, Rodgers gives you another element that people would want to watch. So if he's on the Steelers roster, that would make Steelers even more attractive than they normally already are. So it will be interesting to see what happens, and if it does happen before May 14th. Again, I waited this long. I don't know if I expect it to happen at all before May 14th. I think it's going to drag on until, who knows, maybe into mini camp or beyond. We have no inclination of this other than it seems like the Steelers have played this, that they know he's coming. They didn't take a quarterback until the 6th round in Will Howard. They had other options with other guys, and they chose not to do it. So what do you say at 412-928-9370? I'd love to hear from you. Let's go out to AJ in Natrona Heights, who is our first caller today. AJ, how are you?
Good morning, Bob. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I briefly want to distinguish myself as a card-carrying member of the Mason Rudolph fan club. I have been since he was drafted. I was blown away by his pit game that he had here back in, I think, 17. And I just have been pulling for him all of this time. And I wanted to distinguish myself as that because it just seems that's a rarity in this town. I liked the Will Howard pick. I did. And I think there's potential there. But I just don't think anyone even considers the idea that Mason might surprise people this year. I just wondered about your thoughts on
that. Well, first of all, do you expect him to play if Aaron Rodgers is here, unless there's an injury?
I'm guessing Aaron Rodgers won't be here. I know that might be a surprise to everyone, but I'm thinking Aaron Rodgers might ultimately decide to retire, and then everyone will groan when news comes out that, yes, we're riding with Mason. And I will tell you, I will be one of the people, few they may be, that will be excited about that because I think Pickens came alive with him. I just think it could happen again.
Well, he knows how to throw the deep ball, AJ, that's for sure. And I think Metcalf's one of those guys who can go down the field. They'd have two of them. And it looks like George Pickens will be here for his final year of his contract. And what happens after that, we'll see. But, yes, and the last time we saw Mason play here, he had three very good games. And he took them to a playoff game in Buffalo, which they lost. But he looked very good, and I don't think people thought at the time. And Mike Tomlin stuck with him, even though Kenny Pickett was healthy. And that kind of led to the demise of Pickett, it seems. So, that's going to be interesting to see. Mason's never had a totally full season. It's been interrupted with injury.
He's never had a full off season to prepare as such, you know, as a starter would get. I feel like if he had that, he might surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, but the problem is he's not going to get that if what we think about Rodgers is going to happen. So, you know, I still think, you know, if they really wanted him last year, they should have signed him last year. He could have been on this roster as well. They chose not to. But now, you know, I don't think the plan was to bring him back when everything fell apart with their quarterback situation. They moved on from Wilson. They didn't get Fields to commit to their offer. Then they decided, well, let's get him in here. We know Rodgers is going to get here as well. So they wanted to build their quarterback room. So I don't think it was their plan. However, if he gets in there, I, like you, believe that he can get some stuff done. To what level, I don't know because we haven't seen it for a full season. But at least you have a guy who you know, who's been part of this. I think he knows his receivers here. And then you add Metcalf to it. It can only help him.
Just paint me a believer. Leave it at that.
Card-carrying member. That's what you are. Thanks, AJ. Appreciate that. Let's go to John in Cranberry who joins us right now. Hello, John. How are you?
And first, happy anniversary to you and your beautiful bride. I saw your post this week.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, 38 years. How about that?
It's a long time, Bob. That's great. Congratulations.
The over and under was 10 years, mostly because of me, but she's been great, and she's the best.
Yeah, it sounds like. So, a couple things. So, I want to pat myself on the back. I'm usually wrong, but I did predict the change of Mike Sullivan this past couple of weeks. I had a feeling. And I'm going to make another prediction, believe it or not. I think the Bucs are going to do something with Derek Shelton. I have a feeling. Now, Ben Cherington, I'm not sure. Do I believe he should go? Yes. Here's my point, and then I'll leave it up to you. So too many things are happening on the field that aren't just like errors and physical mistakes. Even last night, Adam Frazier not covering second on a hit to the wall where the Padre didn't run it out. We see constant errors of guys not running out balls, not advancing runners. Shelton and Cherington talked about winning within the margins because they're not good enough to win any other way. And that's exactly what they're not doing when I watch this team. So I have a feeling, and I know most people don't, I think there might be a change made soon. I don't know if it's one or both or either, but I wanted to hear your opinion on that. Thanks,
well,
Bob.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. I definitely think if you're basing it on everything that you just described, yes, they have to make some sort of shakeup. If for no other reason, just to do it, just to let people know. And some of these people have gone from anger to apathy, which is not a good emotion to have. If you don't care, that's a bad one. But those winning on the margin, it makes it very difficult on a team. You have to execute everything right. And if you don't do it, and we're 33 games into this now, and that hasn't happened at 12-21, that's a tough hole to dig out from. I don't care who you are, but especially them. You know, the Braves started 0-7. They're trying to dig out in a much better division in terms of records. They're now 14-17, I think. So they've turned things around, but they had a lot of digging out to do. Pirates do not have the equipment to dig out. So you have to be on the margins. If you're not, and if you make base running errors, if you make just fundamental breakdowns, and there have been plenty of them, somebody has to be blamed in this situation. It would be both. First of all, I don't think the roster is good enough. That's on Cherington. And the execution of the people here hasn't been good enough either. But overseeing all of that is the owner, and it still comes down to the owner for me and what he refuses to do. Again, the numbers speak for themselves. One free agent multi-year deal since 2016. That's it. That means he's not going out and using free agency to his advantage when the draft and the development of players has not been good. If you don't do any of that, then you're going to be where you are. So, yeah, there could be a change here soon. I wouldn't rule it out for sure. I thought at the beginning of the season they would wait until the very end to make it a clean sweep to do it if that's what they were going to do. But I also didn't expect them to start 12-21. So when that happens, it could change the dynamics of that. So I understand what you're saying. At 412-928-9370, Mark and Brentwood will be coming up when we come back. We have open lines for you as well. We'll get into some other stuff, including some of these hockey playoffs now. And what do you think is going to emerge from the Eastern Conference now that we know the matchups are set there? Toronto finally exercised the demon and beat Ottawa, so they didn't have to even go to a Game 7. If they did, it would have been very interesting to see the fan reaction to that one. 412-928-9370, the number to call. Want to hear your thoughts about the Steelers draft. Did you like it? What do you think they did or didn't do that you should have done or they should have done? Let me know. I want to hear from you at 412-928-9370. It's the Bob Pompliani Show on another kind of dreary Saturday right here in downtown Pittsburgh. Back with more after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
All right, welcome back. Matt Harkins behind the glass. Bob Pompliani here until 1 o'clock. That's when Jason Mackey comes in, and Jason will take you until the North Shore Tavern leadoff show. In fact, he's doing that as well. Double duty today for Jason. He'll be on with that at 3:10 prior to the Pirates and the Padres, game two of a series. Game one won by San Diego last night, although Fernando Tatis took a shot right to his arm. Pitcher got away from Mitch Keller, and man, it was immediately you saw like an egg mark on his arm, and he left the game. Very talented player for the Padres, who now are 20 wins and 11 losses, while the Pirates are 12 and 21, 9 games under 500. The Fan and the Pirates, though, want you to send them something to visit your team in action for our youth baseball and softball showcase. It's presented by Sheetz. Parents and coaches, send an email at usports@937thefan.com and register your 12 and under team, and 93.7 The Fan may make a stop to your field. More details at 93.7thefan.com, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. A couple of real quick things before I go here. There's a funeral today for a lady who's been, you know, front and central to what we've done with my golf tournament, which, by the way, is going on its 34th year. It's coming up on Monday, June 9th. I know that's U.S. Open week, but it was scheduled long in advance, the date. So it is Monday at Chartiers Country Club. And the inspiration, really, for this event that I started 34 years ago with Partners for Quality was people like Sandy Allison. Sandy passed away this week. And if you knew Sandy Allison, you understand what it is to overcome and deal with adversities. She had all sorts of challenges from a developmental point of view. She pretty much was in a wheelchair all the time, didn't have access to just about anything on her body with the exception of her feet. And she painted with her feet. And God does some crazy things in terms of talent. And she had this ability to paint with her feet. She would brush her teeth with her feet, you know, everything. But she never lost her enthusiasm for painting. And so that became one of the things we did at our golf tournament. One of the last items we have at an auction is her painting on a yearly basis. And she was there, always so excited, and sat in her wheelchair while people bid. And it was amazing how much money she, with her paintings, produced for Partners for Quality. Well, when I first met her 34 years ago, that's what I took away from it. And I said, there are so many people who need help, who are developmentally challenged and need assistance in so much of what they do. Well, Sandy was, you know, the person, the face of what we do, and still is and will be, even though she's passed on. So coming up on June the 9th, we're going to have one of her last paintings she made on auction. And I hope the people who show up for the event, because it's always a fun event, will remember her and bid high on her auction items. So, Sandy, rest in peace. You deserve to be injury-free, pain-free, and you will be in a good place. So Sandy Allison died, and I certainly extend condolences to her entire family. I went to the visitation yesterday with my wife, and we talked to many of them. And despite all the things, stuff she had to deal with, man, what an amazing outlook on life. And, I mean, when you get into that situation, you got to make the best of what you have, and she certainly did. Which leads me to a story we did on KDK this week. And it was a kid from Hampton named Aiden Hanna. And Aiden is a baseball player, grew up like a lot of kids around here wanting to play baseball. But throughout his life, he had issues that he had to deal with. Cancer that turned up in both of his legs, one after another. He went through chemotherapy to fight the cancer that was in his ankle. Rang the bell, everything was good, and then there was something that happened in his other leg. And then when he was dealing with that, cancer returned to the leg that had already been dealing with cancer. Long story short, he had to get a leg amputated. But that never stopped him from doing what he wanted to do. Prosthetic leg, continued to want to play, told the coach he wants to play. And he did. He returned, and on his final at-bat of his senior season, he got a single, which brought everyone up on their feet and certainly tears in their eyes. If you'd like to check that out, I know we have it on social media, so you can check it out. It's Hampton High School, Aiden Hanna. And what makes it even more remarkable, this kid who's only 18, 17 years old, he's decided, because of seeing other people in the hospital when he was in the hospital, that he was going to start Aiden Helping's Hand. This is a foundation that he started, and it's already raised $200,000 trying to help other people who've gone through similar stuff. So if you want just a couple of moments to watch a great story and somebody who knows what it's like to deal with all these kinds of adversities and yet still has the wherewithal, the persistence to deal with it, to move on from it, and to help others along the way. It's remarkable what he's been able to do. Craig McConnell, our producer, shooter, he went out and did all the film work of it, the video. You'll see his final at bat and the reaction that was there for Aiden Hanna. So check it out. Again, it's on my social media feeds. You can also see it on CBS KDKA because I know it's inspiring. I like looking at inspirational people. I like seeing people who have overcome problems, because we all tend to think our problems are so big, even though they're not. Many of them are not that big. Some are. And if you have to deal with them, attitude will take you through it. These are examples of attitudes winning out, despite just terrible situations in their own personal life. 412-928-9370. Let's go back to the lines. Sorry to digress there, but I felt it was important to mention those two people because of their outlooks, what they bring in, as far as inspiring stories to people who may need to be inspired in their own way. Watching them can help you. Mark in Brentwood, you're up right now. Mark, thanks for being patient with me. What's going on?
Well, Paul, first of all, my pleasure. I feel like I'm going to deviate. I want to talk about Mason Rudolph, but after hearing what you just said in the past 1.5 minutes, I've met you a couple times. Work at a restaurant, and I've waited on you and met you, and you truly are one hell of a guy. The way you conduct yourself, the way you are, the way you care about, you know, people, and the way you report, man, it's a pleasure to actually talk to you on the radio, but too, I've got to meet you in real life.
Mark, I really do appreciate
you're
that. Thank you.
Guy,
thank you.
I did want to say about Mason real quick. I do believe he's never truly got a fair shake to develop in the situations that he's been in. When he was in Pittsburgh, you know, Ben was still a guy. Ben called the shots. He never got coached. He got shipped down to Tennessee, you know, never really in the proper system. If you look at a guy like Sam Darnold, everybody thought he was a bust until he got put in the right system. I love Mason. I love what he's about. He finally has weapons around him. I think if we just give him a chance and develop him as maybe QB1 this season, I think he can really excel in this offense with DK and Pickens and a line that could block. What do you think, Pomp?
No, I agree with that. And thank you for the call, and thank you for the kind words. I look forward to seeing you again down the road. But, why not? If you use the example of Sam Darnold, I felt the same about Justin Fields. I thought with time here he could develop and maybe be unlocked some of the talent that he has in the passing game that we haven't yet seen. Darnold had to go to 4 different teams, finally a system and someone who knew what he was doing with him. And look what it's turned into, a $100 million-plus deal with Seattle now. And, there is a timeline for a lot of guys. Everyone has different timelines. You could be a quarterback who's really good right off the bat, come in and make things happen. We've seen that already. You know, Jaden Daniels is the most recent example of someone who just took it by the horns, came in and won immediately. But there are others who do take time. I thought Fields was that kind of person, which is why I thought they'd bring him back here. And it seems like it was his choice to move on from the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Mason Rudolph could be that guy. But again, there could be a roadblock here in the terms of Aaron Rodgers and what happens there. If he's healthy the whole way through, unless he just comes in and lays big eggs there, Rudolph may never get a shot. Although it's a 2-year deal. You know, when Rodgers is gone, that can change things. But I tend to agree. Sometimes it takes guys a lot of years of going through the process of understanding what it is to be an NFL quarterback, because it's different than college. And sometimes that pays off in time. Hopefully Mason Rudolph will be one of those guys. So I can see that happening, absolutely. Bill in Newcastle. What's up, Bill? How are you?
That Pirates game, that guy who fouled fans, he should have been doing that.
That investigation's ongoing. I mean, that's a tragic situation to watch. And we've learned a lot about the kid now who fell and is still in critical condition. So it seems to me like once you hear the entire investigation from police, from the Pirates, from everyone involved, you'll get an explanation of what really happened there. So all I know is for now, I hope he pulls through it. I hope the best for he and his family, because you never want to see anything like that again. But it was a scary sight, no doubt about that. At 412-928-9370. All right, I'm going to get back to hockey, just because I mentioned that before, and you know about Mike Sullivan. There are a lot of guys on the list. Now, I'm curious to find out if people are interested in, retread guys, big names, guys like Rick Tocchet, guys like Petey Laviolette, guys like John Tortorella, even though he looks like he's destined to Mike Sullivan's staff. Guys who've been around, have done it, and then have fallen, out of it and gotten fired, whatever the case may be, retreads, I call them. And then you get the guys who are in college coaches or junior coaches, guys who have never had the chance. But they also know that if you're going to make a lot of money in hockey, the way to do it is to get an opportunity in the next level. There are guys on current staffs right now in the NHL who may be worthy of that. So Kyle Dubas is going to look long and hard, it seems, to put a wide search together here not just NHL guys who've been through it, but other guys in junior and college ranks. What direction do you want them to go? Do you want them to bring in a Rick Tocchet, a Peter Laviolette? I'll use that name only because he's one of those guys. You know, if you look at the guys who currently are in the NHL semifinals of their conference, Peter DeBoer's the guys who've been around. I mean, he's been fired before. A lot of guys have been fired. Would you rather them go from somebody who's had some success yet fired recently, or would you rather go into the college ranks, the junior ranks, fresh start kind of guy who has a different outlook? Washington certainly did that with Carberry, and he's been really good. So they won their first-round series. A lot of people like me thought they might not, and I looked at their goaltending as possibly a problem there. Well, it's not been a problem. They've done actually pretty well. So in the next round, Washington will host Carolina. That's an interesting matchup. And then you'll have the Florida Panthers. Now, they have moved on. They beat Tampa Bay, which I thought might happen, but I still like Tampa Bay for all the reasons I thought they would. But it looks like Vasilevsky was not as sharp as he needed to be. And so Florida will move on, and they'll take on Toronto. Toronto's a team that has a lot of talent. Maybe they got a little stress-free after advancing in the first round, because it looked like Ottawa might force a game 7, but they averted that. They won that series 4-2, and so now it's Florida against Tampa, or against Toronto, and it's Carolina against Washington in that one. And the other side of it, again, we have a game 7 going on tonight with Colorado-Dallas. I like Dallas at home. I think they'll win that game, and Jared Bednar will probably go 0-4 in game 7s, and Peter DeBoer will go 9-0 in game 7s. That's a pretty remarkable record. So these playoffs have been interesting for me to watch. I don't know if you feel the same way. And some of the NBA ones have been good as well. If you like high-end action, which I do, those are the things to watch this time of the year. Because quite frankly, there's nothing else on that makes sense at this point. Riverhounds are back home. I think you heard Matt talk about this. It's pretty amazing. It's been over a month. I think in late March they had a home game. It's been over a month since they've been home. And so tonight, over at Highmark Stadium, and by the way, they have some new turf over there. They just installed it, so maybe that's a sign that they're going to come away with a win. They'll take on North Carolina FC, and if you can't make it over there, we'll have it for you on KDK+. Time for a break. More calls on the way at 412-928-9370. I want to get your Steeler reaction as well to their draft, things they may have missed on in their draft, things you would have done differently, or do you like it all from start to finish? They certainly got physical in some of the places they need to be. That was one of their ambitions, to get physical. But do they have enough when it comes to trenches? Do they have enough when it comes to cornerbacks? You know, you can't address everything in one draft. So they still have areas of need. What do you think they've done? At 412-928-9370, we'll continue with that conversation and more right after we get an update from Matt Harkins. And a big thank you to our sponsors at PNC Bank. Make today the day and check out the virtual wallet. Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. And number one Cochran, ride in style and go one better with number one Cochran. And tune in to the number one Cochran Sports Showdown tomorrow night at 11:35. On the program tomorrow, we will have Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette, as well as Jason Mackey from the Post-Gazette, and Andrew Filippone right here at the PM Team 93.7 The Fan. In the meantime, I want to hear from you on all these topics and more at 412-928-9370. Let's go to Ryan in New Jersey. Hello, Ryan. How are you this morning?
Hey, Bob. I'm one of those rare humans who actually saw Pirates win in person last week. We happened to be in out in California on vacation, didn't have a lot to do on the Wednesday, so my son and I went over to the Big A. I always wanted to go there, so we saw the Pirates blank the Angels. Quite a boring game, but it wasn't actual.
Yeah, they took two of three, and then the first against the Dodgers, and I thought, okay, maybe they're onto something, and immediately reality came in.
It happens. Anyway, so the NHL playoffs, which I know everybody here tuned out probably in February, or everybody in Western PA tuned out, for most people, but I know you didn't. So looks like the second round. I don't know what happened to Hellebuck. I jinxed him. I said they were my favorite to win it, you guys, like 2 weeks ago, and then of course that's what happened.
How do you explain that? And what would you do in Game 7 tonight, Ryan? If it's me, I may go with Eric Comrie. I only because. And I hate to do that to a guy who's going to win a Vezina and all this history, but, man, he's shown me that he is just not feeling comfortable in goal.
I mean, it's one of those things. It's speaking of, since it's Flurry week, sometimes these guys, goalies are like relievers. They go through these phases where you just don't know why it's not clicking. I don't think they know. So it's very hard to pinpoint, you know, why you get down when you get down. Like you said, Vasilevsky was, for 3 or 4 years, was untouchable. He's the best goalie in the league by far. And Florida just roughed them up. So, which, I mean, illegally in some ways, which is always the problem with the NHL. But, you know, they just basically bull rushed them. It's hard to explain. But the second round series, if they play out, assuming Winnipeg gets through, they look like they're going to have a lot of juice. The most boring series by far is going to be Carolina and Washington. Carolina is the most boring team in the NHL. They've been overrated for years. I've said this before. They're so overrated. But I think they'll win that series still somehow. I don't think Washington's going to be able to get through. But, you know, that Toronto-Florida series, I don't like watching the Leafs much, but, man, I just feel like that one's going to get spicy real fast.
Well, Florida, I'll tell you what, Florida proved, you know, they're the defending champs, and against Tampa, they came out with a physical approach to everything, and they made it tough on Tampa Bay. They did, but again, Vasilevsky had a lot to do with that, too. I don't think he was as good as he should. Still comes back to goaltending, and that's it. And the Penguins have got to find goaltenders and figure it out, regardless of who's their head coach here.
You know, I wonder if when Sullivan was pushed out the door, I wonder if Tristan Jarry thought for a second, maybe I should call and apologize to him. But I doubt it. but you know, that's the end chapter, Sully. A lot of it was Jarry. Well, it was two goalie choices that turned out to be incorrect. Not bad choices at the time, but they were 100% incorrect. And, you know, the Jarry thing, I really, you know, Sullivan didn't have a goal. I mean, he did what Bylsma did in a lot of ways. I know he's a better coach, but he did the whole Sid Gino, get out there and score me goals. I don't care who's on your wings thing. A little bit too much for me. That was cute when they were in their 20s, but not in their late 30s. But, you know, it's just the goaltending. Just the minute they said Murray was your franchise guy, just, man. Just
yeah, but that was the right call at the time. I don't blame them. Listen, John Steigerwald's the only guy I know, used to work with Johnny, said stick with Fleury, don't trust Murray, whatever. He was right. Most people that I know would say that's the proper move, and I include myself in that. As much as I like Marc-Andre Fleury, they had to make a choice, and too bad that the expansion draft had to happen that year. Because if it didn't, then you could have kept both.
Well, and the thing was, I think in retrospect, it wasn't Murray. It was the teams in front of him. That 16 team was the greatest puck possession team I've ever seen, and the 17 team was probably the gutsiest counterpunch team I've ever seen. Yeah. And that'll win you cups, and I think more than Murray was, you know, kind of a Chris Osgood in the end. He was kind of steward.
That was an unbelievable, 21-year career. And Ryan, thanks for the call. I got to move on. I enjoyed watching that last game. But I wish the NHL would not have immediately gone to the next game. There was some time there they could have simmered. You know, the first 5 minutes of the next game doesn't matter for national viewers. You have Marc-Andre Fleury, 21-year career. Let it marinate a little bit and have him on the ice, because Vegas gave him a tremendous send-off, which we never really saw live. So, sometimes I think they need to just stop. And I understand the sponsorships and everything that's involved in this stuff, but, man, there's a moment that I thought they missed. Let's go to Rob on the cell before we take our noon break here. What's up, Rob? How are you?
Hi, Rob. I'm good. Just wanted to quickly, say something very special about your comments you had about your charity. And I got to tell you, I'm driving an Interstate 80 with a headset in my big truck. Talked to you 3 different times in it, but I'm cruising along, and I tell you what, you brought tears to my eyes, and you know how much we take ourselves for granted sometimes.
Well, Rob, I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, we everyone has issues they deal with in their lives. That's why it's hard for me. I don't like judging anything that I see based on one reaction, or because there's a story behind everyone. And in these cases, you know, Sandy, the lady I mentioned, who's been really the face of our golf tournament, she's the person that inspired me to actually do it and bring people together to do our tournament. All the money goes to that Partners for Quality, because they do a great job handling people with these developmental challenges. And nobody had more of them than she did. And yet, through it all, she painted. It brought joy to her life. She painted stuff with her feet. Every year, she would bring those paintings to our event, and we would auction them off. And she was there watching it happen, which brought joy to her life, you know, so.
Wow. That is amazing. And that's something I just really value. I just wanted you to know that. I thank you for doing what you do. Could I also talk a little bit and ask you some questions about our quarterback situation with the Steelers?
Okay, make it quick, though, Rob.
Okay, now, just quickly, the basic thing is nothing's changed with who's the quarterback in limbo?
Rodgers?
Yeah, Rodgers. Nothing's changed with him. He's still out there just... Okay.
Well, the only thing is just when, you know, and again, I brought up the May 14th scheduling. I think these people in the NFL want to know who's their quarterback before they...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Make a decision. We begin the noon hour with a line change as Joel Nelson is now behind the glass. Matty Harkins has left the building, and Joel will be here for the rest of the afternoon. He does a great job, as always. He has his updates coming up at the 20 to 40 in the top of the hour. In the meantime, I want to remind you that the Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We have open lines. That's my policy. Love to talk to you at 412-928-9370 or on X or Twitter at KD Pomp. So we'll begin this hour talking about Mike Sullivan, the 38th head coach in New York Rangers history, fourth since 2021. So they have gone through a lot of coaches, and Chris Drury, very impatient. His team got to the Eastern Conference Finals last year before they lost. And, you know, now Peter Laviolette is without a job, probably for just a little bit, because there are some openings here. There are seven exactly, I think, if I counted this right, seven openings, counting the Penguins. You have the Philadelphia Flyers, and you wonder what Rick Tocchet's going to do, because Tocchet chose to leave Vancouver. I just don't think he felt comfortable out there. And last year, of course, they had that situation with JT Miller and Pettersson, and they got into it. It forced a trade that I don't think they wanted to make, but they made it with the Rangers. So it could be that he ends up in Philadelphia. You know, we'll see. There's also Chicago, which is a team, you know, with Connor Bedard and a few other talented players, but they got a long way to go. Anaheim, same boat. They're trying to, you know, come back from a rebuild that's going to take a lot longer than they probably thought. Seattle, now that's interesting because Dan Bylsma was hired there by Ron Francis, and then with 1 year out of it, he fired him. He's gone already. And then Vancouver. So that's, I think that's 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm missing one. Philly, Pittsburgh, Chicago, Anaheim, Seattle, Vancouver. What am I missing, Joel? Is there another one I'm missing here? I thought there were 7 openings, but whatever the case, the Penguins are one of them, and now the question is, what will Kyle Dubas do? Will he go with the retread version of some of these coaches, guys who've been in the league, fired, but resurfaced in other places? Or does he go with a college coach or a junior coach or someone that we don't know too much about, or an assistant on another staff? Because there are those guys who are, and you don't know their names as prominently as you do NFL assistant coaches, but there are guys out there who are deserving of an opportunity, and Carberry was one of them with Washington. He ends up making a big difference his first year, and he should win the Jack Adams Award. I don't think there really should be any other name mentioned, given what he's done, on a team that I thought was not going to be anywhere near this good. They have the most points in the Eastern Conference. They win their first playoff game, and now they're on to Carolina in round number 2. And really, to set the stage for you, the next round in the Eastern Conference will have Carolina, Washington, and then Florida, Toronto, which will be a very interesting series in that one for sure. Tonight we have a dilemma. If you're in Denver, what do you do here? Joel, I asked this of Matt. I want to get your take on this. If you are a sports fan in Denver, you have 2 game 7s involving your teams. You have Colorado and Dallas. That one's in Dallas at 8 p.m. That's the hockey game 7. And then you have the L.A. Clippers and the Denver Nuggets in the NBA game 7. That's in Denver at 7:30. So a lot of people will be at the Denver Nuggets game wondering what's happening with the Colorado Avalanche game. But if you're sitting at home, which do you watch? Both? Can you do both at the same time? Or would you choose to do one, shut off your phone, watch one, and then tape the next and just uninterruptedly go to the next one?
Do I have the option of going to any Denver bars, Bob?
Oh, yeah, that's a good option, actually.
If I have that option, that's my
move. Yeah, but again, even that, even depending on the bar and where you sit in the bar, you may not have the best view of all this stuff. Like, if you're, I'm going to ask that, okay, that's a good option, potentially. But let's say you don't want to do that. What do you do if you're sitting at home? Now, you can go back and forth, but you're going to miss, you know, large chunks of games. What would you do?
It's a good thought. I think I'll probably have, man, oh, man, I'll probably go the Nuggets game on my TV, and then I'll probably have my laptop to stream the Avalanche game, or vice versa, if I'm able to stream whichever. But one on the TV and probably one on my laptop, just in the living room.
You wouldn't just take your time and watch both separately one by one and just devote the whole night to watching two games?
I got to keep up with both live as okay. They happen.
Well, that's an interesting dilemma. They're going to have that tonight. And here's the other dilemma. I want to get your thought, Joel, also before we go to the phone line. So 412-928-9370. So the Jets, number one team, they win the President's Trophy. They are the best team in the NHL, largely because of their goaltender, who will win another Vezina, Connor Hellebuck. Yet, in this series against St. Louis, he has been yanked 3 times. He's got an .814 save percentage. He looks completely unconfident, like he's lost his fastball here. Do you come back with him at game 7, or do you go to Eric Comrie, who has been, you know, put in 3 different games when he was pulled, Hellebuck, and he's played pretty well? Do you go with a backup? Do you go with the established guy, knowing that one goal can change the entire direction of a game? It is a game 7, after all.
I think I would end up sticking with Hellebuck, just as the kind of ride or die goalie for the franchise. So I would stick with Hellebuck for tonight's game.
One of the tough decisions they're going to have to make here, and I'd like to hear what you say at 412-928-9370. Who do you go with? Connor Hellebuck, Eric Comrie in goal for the Jets to take on St. Louis, who's, to me, they're playing with house money right now. I don't think people expect them to be involved here to the point where it's a game 7, but they certainly are. The other one that ended was kind of interesting. The Edmonton Oilers, I thought, were dead after 2 games. L.A. Kings were all over them. They led 2 games to none. And yet, somehow, some way, Edmonton, in a weird series with some crazy moments, came all the way back and won the next 4 games. So they'll be very dangerous moving forward as well as they move on in the NHL playoffs. All right, 412-928-9370 is the number to call. I want to talk about Steeler drafts, Steeler quarterbacks. We've been doing that. Derek Harmon, a very solid pick. I like that one as we look back at it. He's a guy who fell to them, really, and there were some concerns about a labrum injury he has. I don't know that's going to be a big deal. At least I hope not. We saw what happened to Troy Fautanu last year, but he needs to be out there. And later in the draft, they came up with Y.A. Black, who's a really solid player for Iowa. And they needed bodies there. They really did. Because Cam Hayward, as well as he's played, he is getting up there. And sooner or later, Father Time wins out on everyone. So you have that situation. You're hoping guys like DeMarvin Leal and Isaiah Loudermilk and Keanu Benton all play better. But you need some people there. That's a tough position to play. They've also, you know, here's the interesting thing now. You can talk to me all you want about potential and whether or not this guy has upside to the point where he's going to be an all-pro. There are guys out there like that. Then there's the other kind that have just put up big numbers in college. So they got both captains from the Ohio State National Championship Buckeyes. Jack Sawyer, who in their admission is a Steeler kind of guy, and he's a very active guy on defense, no question. But he's an edge rusher. They have three of them. I guess it's good to have four, but he's one of those guys they didn't want to pass up on. And then they picked up Will Howard, the offensive captain of that same national championship team. These are guys who have, you know, big-time resumes in college. If you have a preference there, would you go with that, or would you go with the guys who don't have that much in terms of, you know, career resumes, but they have 1 year of dynamic playmaking? I always think that's a challenge that you have to come up with, because there are players, when you select, no matter what round, that you're going to have, you know, guys who have potential, but you haven't seen it enough to know it, to believe it. And I look at a guy like Trey Lance as probably the biggest example of that, most recently a quarterback. When San Francisco chose him, he didn't have a lot of experience. He was a third overall pick, and he's just never turned out to be anything that they can use. And now in Dallas, he's not even being used there. And, you know, bottom line is that's a wasted pick, but that can happen if you go for potential more than anything else. I think it's interesting next year when the draft comes to Pittsburgh, and that'll be a huge event. They had, I think, 700,000 people in Green Bay. I got to believe Pittsburgh, because of its drawing area, will have far more than that. When I say far more, you know, maybe 800,000 to 900,000 over the course of this week. And it's more than just the, you know, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This is a big time leading up to it. So it'll be well chronicled, all the stuff they have, whether it's, you know, entertainment. And I think most of that will be in Point State Park. They're going to use Acrisure Stadium. You know, final details have not been made, but it's going to be tremendous. And the biggest part of it all would be the Steelers could choose their next franchise quarterback in this draft. They will have, based on my counting here, and I'm not sure how these all fit, but, you know, when you look at comp picks, they're going to have extra ones there. They should have as many as 11 draft picks in 2026. Now, you can't trade some of them because of the way it's structured, but you can't trade others. You can move up. You can do a lot of different things. Next year could be the year to watch when it comes to a big-time quarterback being added to this roster. 412-928-9370, Brian in Bethel Park joins us right now. Brian is on the hotline. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Two quick points, and I'm just going to hang up and listen. One, everybody seems to forget that the Pirates, every single year, increase in value. His value is, what, tenfold what he bought it for? And then the other quick point is, why does Mike Tomlin not hire somebody for replays, for challenges? He's horrible at them, but that's all I got.
Well, they supposedly have somebody up there who does that. I'm not sure who, but you're right. Like, if you have somebody really good, and the Penguins for years had a guy who was tremendous at that, and it saved them. With some of these close plays that you have to make a quick decision. I think that's something that has to be improved, no question about it. Rick joins us right now in Garfield here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hello, Rick. How are you?
Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, just a quick suggestion for the Pirates. Obviously, there's a dearth of power hitting on the team right now, and they've got to be looking at packaging a top-level pitching prospect like maybe a Bubba Chandler for somebody's top-level, you know, minor league power hitter, somebody that's on track to hit maybe 30, 35 home runs in the minor league level, drive in maybe 90 to 100 runs. But they're going to have to start giving up some of their assets if they're to really restock or, you know, rebuild this team. Otherwise, we're just kind of spinning our wheels in the mud here.
Wow, it's been spinning for over a decade now. You're right, Rick. Mm-hmm. And you know, they seem to be opposed to that kind of stuff. Now, Chandler is an interesting case because he looks like he's going to be a really, really solid pitcher. However, in order to get what you need, sometimes you have to part with what you have. That's simply the way it goes in sports. And if you have a need when it comes to power hitters, or at least hitters who can, you know, be, and look at what the Washington Nationals have done. You know, or the Cleveland Guardians have done. They've used some of their assets to acquire others. And, you know, You got to take care of the deficits on your roster, and they have plenty of them from an offensive side. I wouldn't be opposed to that. As long as I got guys who I believe through my system and scouts is capable of coming up here and providing a bat. But short of that, they had every moment of this offseason to go out and get some bigger players, bigger offensive bats who were available for a higher price, and they chose to ignore all of that.
And I think the other question, too, is the prospect, the high draft prospect, Tamar Johnson, where is he now in the system? He's at AAA. Is there any
I don't think he's at AAA. Is he? Well, I got to find out where he is. He was, you know, he's not at a faster track. Now, he's 21 years old, so he was drafted when he was 17, so there is some time there for that. But he hasn't done all that well, I don't think, this year. I got to check for you. Because I think it's lower than that. I don't think he's at AAA. If he is, then I missed that. But I would love to see him up here sooner rather than later. You see a lot of teams that have 21-year or 22-year-old guys who immediately make an impact, and he needs to make one.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy Pham is a decent player, but if you're going to lose another 95 games this year, then you might as well start bringing up some people by the All-Star break and letting them play in the field and find out, you know, can they hit it, you know, at the major league level? And if not, then you're going to have to go back into the draft this coming year, and they better focus on finding power hitters from here on out. The pitching staff, you know, seems relatively stable for now, but it's just that dearth of power hitting, and that's what puts people in the stands, too. You know,
yeah. By the way, Tamar Johnson is hitting .244 in Double A, so he's not yet to Triple A, but .244 at this point in Altoona. So
wow. Well, the progress for him has been pretty slow.
I'm not gonna. It is slow. Some people take longer than others, and he is only 21, so I'm not willing to give up on that. But you're right. They got to do a better job of putting together rosters that are competitive rosters.
Yeah.
And you can blame managers all you want, and there's plenty to blame from fundamental play on this team. But at the same time, you got to have more talent. You got to have people who can hit. Bringing in Tommy Pham, and again, I understood he's $4 million. That fits their budget, but it's not what they want. He's been on 10 teams in 12 years. There's a reason for that. You know, and while he may be a, quote, veteran and he's done okay defensively, I think he's one of the top defensive players in terms of runs saved out there. But you can't hit 170 in the starting lineup every day. I don't think he has a home run yet. You know, Brian Hayes, for that matter, has one home run. You know, you do need power in this day and age. You have to be willing and to go out and get it somehow, some way, and they just haven't done it. But thank you for the call, Rick. Appreciate
it. Take care.
Okay. Have a good day. Now let's go out to Guy in California who joins us, and he normally likes to talk about hockey. Let's see what he's talking about today. What's up, Guy?
Just a little bit, real quick, Bob. I'm looking at the standings in the Eastern Conference, and I'm trying to figure out who the Penguins – would allow the Penguins to move up in the top eight. And so you have a Penguin team that has a mixture of veterans and hopefully a good crop of rookies. And so, but you need a coach who's able to go in there and not discipline, but guide the veterans. And I think someone like a Tocchet would be able to do that. But, you know, there'll probably be other openings. There's going to be an opening probably in L.A. Hiller, the coach there, is a disaster. They collapsed against the Oilers. And I'll just be one other point real quick and I'll get off. I just want to correct what you guys said about, you know, Carolina being a boring team. Maybe.
I didn't say that. Ryan said that, one of our callers. I think they're efficient. I would call them efficient.
I like the word efficient because they've won 7 consecutive first-round playoff wins.
Yeah, Rod Brind'Amour, and no one else in the history of the game has done that.
Well, I think Al Arbor did.
I don't think so. I looked at the records this morning, and if he did, I don't remember exactly, and I apologize to Al Arbor, who's no longer with us. But, but I mean, it's really not – you don't normally see that, is what I'm trying to say.
Right, because the Penguins haven't done that since – they haven't won a first-round a playoff since 2018. So basically my question back to you is what coach could you bring in that would be able to navigate the egos of the veterans and hopefully the talent of the rookies that they'll be bringing in?
Well, again, I the Carberry example in Washington's a good one because he had to do just that. They brought in some new people. But they had the old guard there, specifically Tom Wilson and Alex Ovechkin. They got lucky with a couple of guys who excuse me, they didn't have to pay because of injuries, and they saved some money there. But he did a good job meshing, and his system got through, and they believe, even the older guys believed in what they were doing. I think, you know, one thing I've noticed about Mike Sullivan as this season wore on is he got agitated a lot with the messaging that doesn't seem to deliver to his team. Yeah, and when you have guys who are used to playing in their own way, the way they do it, you know, you could preach all you want, but if it doesn't work, then what do you do? Because those are the guys you're counting on. They have the heavy price tags. They are the ones, you know, the Letangs and Carlsons. They're still playing the same way they always do, even though they were trying to not make those kinds of mistakes. Malkin still does the same stuff when it comes to mistakes, mostly in the offensive zone when they occur. So, yeah, you need someone who has a system and will demand that everyone follows that system and plays that system. So we'll see. It's good. Yeah, there are a lot of names out there. I don't know if I want to go in the retread. I probably, in my view, I'd like to go fresh start with some younger guy.
And you may be right that somebody who knows all the players. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Morozov, the goalie down in West Virginia there. It'll be interesting to see. But I'm just, once again, this last sentence, looking at those teams in the East, it's going to be hard for them to jump over. Jump over the Canadiens? I don't think so. They have, you know, they have Suzuki and Caulfield, and then you got the two rookies, Demidov and Hudson.
Yeah, Hudson's really good. He's only 19 years old, too. But, hey, guy, I got to go. I'm up against the break, but I appreciate your take on that, and that'll be one of the things that Kyle Dubas has to do. Jeff is going to join us after the break. Don is going to join us after the break. We have open lines as well at 412-928-9370. This is a Saturday edition of the Bob Pompeiani Show right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back. As we continue right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, got a lot of callers to get to you in 1 second here. I want to remind you the second annual Fan 5 Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union will take place on June 5th and 6th. This year, the broadcast will take place at the Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department. You can donate now at 937thefan.com to help support local volunteer fire departments in our area. These are unsung heroes, ladies and gentlemen. They do great work, especially when you never think you may need them, but when you do, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's all brought to you by Charles Leach Insurance, Firehouse Subs, True Fan Travel, People's Natural Gas, and Lewis Anthony Jewelers. That's the five Alarm Marathon special on June 5th and 6th right here at 93.7 The Fan. Let's get back to the lines. We got a lot of people want to talk. Jeff joins us right now on line two. Hello, Jeff.
How are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Good. I want to talk about the Pirates because you said something that struck me, and it was that you need power in the modern age of baseball, and that is 100% true. But if you don't have power, and they clearly don't, then you have to construct a team that's able to play without power. And if you watch this team play, they're fundamentally unsound. They're fundamentally unsound on defense. They're fundamentally unsound. They cannot bunt. I saw the Yankees bunt against the Pirates. I was watching him a couple weeks ago, and I watched the Braves bunt. I watched three whole hitters bunt. You watch this team on the base path, they're unsound. If you're going to put a team together, the way that Charrington put a team together, then you have to put a team together that has cohesion. And this team has no cohesion. And I think, I don't have any faith in Shelton as a manager. I have less faith that Charrington has the capacity in a small market to construct a team that has cohesion, put together a development staff that can get people to where they need to be and get coaches to put players on the field who are capable of playing the game. And I hate to say look back, but in the way Whitey Herzog did, where you have a guy like Tommy Herr at second base and Pendleton before he was Pendleton, they could play baseball so well that they didn't create errors and give runs away. And that's what this team does. Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you, Jeff. You're right. Tommy Herr, man, he was a guy who, I think he led the league in doubles 1 year. He had a lot of RBIs without the benefit of a home run. But you're right. That's, if you're going to not have that, then you have to adjust accordingly and do the things. And if you can't do the things, playing on the margins, as they call it, then you're going to be 12-21, and that's where they are. And this is year six. And it's not like year two or three. It's year six. And at some point, something's got to happen here. So that's what I would expect. Don't know when, but I thought originally at the beginning of the season, if things didn't go right, that at the end of the year, they would make changes. Well, now that has been amplified by a 12-21 start. Don, parts unknown, calls us right here on 93.7 The Fan. Hello, Don.
Hello, Bob, and welcome from the Isle of Malta.
I wanted to talk about evaluation and education as it pertains to the Pittsburgh Baseball Club. Before these people are picked up and put in a Pirate uniform, they have to be evaluated. So we trust the people who are supposedly supposed to be there to find the people for our team to put forth a good evaluation. Next, we expect them to be educated when they get here. I don't know if people understand that this is still a learning process. Yeah, you label them pro and you pay them money, but it's like I find it very hard to believe that, you know, with the entire system that we have, that nobody can hit. Now, is that they were A, poorly evaluated from the beginning, or B, nobody knows how the hell to teach hitting? There was a reason why, you know, Ted Williams was a great, great player, but he was a lousy manager. And, you know, and why are people like, you know, Jim Leland, did he even get a cup of coffee? I don't know.
A little.
But it's like he turned
it was an espresso.
Yeah, it could have been espresso, but the pinky out. It could be certainly a point where, you know, they're just not being taught. You know, humans are humans. They don't build people any different. In New York, you know, they really don't. They may be able to pay them a little bit more. But at what point in time does it come down to the people that are evaluating and the people that are educating are the ones that are the flaws here and not the people that are bringing up? Last thing I want to say to you, thanks again for taking my call. I don't know if you saw my master's press conference yet. That's on limits to do that for you. And I want to volunteer right now to come in this Christmas and back you up on my ukulele while we record Blue Christmas. Thanks again.
Blue Christmas. Oh, blue. And I like a ukulele. That's a good instrument. Thanks, Doc.
No, it's downstairs. I can't help you right now.
No, you're right. But, you know, I also, and thanks for the call, I think, yes, the teachers, the coaches, they're responsible. But also the players that you have. If they're not understanding all of this and you know, making the right plays, there's part of the responsibility goes to them too. So it's just a total mess of a situation right now, and it doesn't seem to be changing because the same things happen series in, series out. Mike in Whitehall. Whitehall is next, right? Or it could be Whitehall. Whitehall is Whitehall. Let's go, Mike. Whitehall. How are you?
How you doing? Hey, Bob. Well, before I get to you real quick, I think a nightly sports call should be on 10 to 11. You don't need all that news on, but that's another story.
You can write in and opine about that, and you know, it might help.
With the Pirates, granted, their hitting's bad, no doubt about it. But a lot of things going on now, so people don't talk about it. I'm thinking their pitching's overrated. They keep saying the strength. I mean, Paul Skene's aside, although he's been getting roughed up here and there. But Mitch Keller is up and down. Bailey Falter's a journeyman that, I guess, Haney they got. He'll be gone in July. And I don't know if they're really that pitching's – I mean, the hitting's not good either. But I think the pitching's – they keep saying the strength of the team, and I don't think that's – much
in theory, it is the strength. But I will say this, Mike. A lot of people have come down on Skene's after that last outing. That was the first time he's ever looked that way, I think. And I'd give him a pass on that. I don't expect that to continue. It was one of those days. Four walks, three home runs allowed, all that kind of stuff. You won't see that from him on a regular basis. But, yeah, in theory, you know, Jared Jones, after 1 year, you thought, okay, he's going to be.
I forgot about him.
But, yeah, and he may not be around for another couple of months anyway. But the point is, on paper, it looks good. Then you have to go out and do it. Keller's been up and down, and I still like him as a back-end kind of starter. Andrew Heaney had a couple of really good starts in a row. The last one, again, I thought he was victimized by no offense because he took a scoreless game into the fifth inning. How many goose eggs do you got to put up? You know, he had like 20-some in a row.
And the last thing is about Derek Shelton. I mean, I think he will be gone soon. But, I mean, of course, Mike Sullivan's gone now. Bad things happen when it did. But I always feel like with him and Tomlin that Shelton's always had the free passer because people would say to me, he has nothing to work with. And I would tell people, if that's the case, he got a job here for life because he's never going to have anything to work with.
Yeah, and at some point, the record speaks for itself. At least with the other guys, they've had previous success, and they still have teams that can be relevant. So the Pirates have not been relevant since over a decade, and that's the problem, and it continues. And again, I'll start with Bob Nutting more than anybody else. He's the overhead responsible for all aspects of this organization. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate
Thanks,
the call.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Jill in Spears. Hello, Jill. How are you?
Hi, Bob. Oh, my favorite. I want to wish you a lot of luck with your golf tournament again this year.
Well, thank
it's wonderful,
you.
Wonderful event. But I was calling about Paul Skene's. Now, you kind of answered it with the last caller, but I remember last year when he came up and went to the All-Star game. He was new. He went in there and blew away the top three hitters in Major League Baseball. And I mean, full of confidence. But it just seems like ever since then, he's throwing more and more pitches. I don't know if he's trying different pitches, but he's gotten a little bit worse. And I mean, how do you explain that?
Well, I look at the velocity, Jill, and that's not been what it was last year either. Now, I know it's 1 month into the season, so I'm willing to wait a little bit on that one. But, yeah, I mean, it's certainly the way he came up and took the National League by storm was really tremendous at age 21. And he had to do that in order to fend off Jackson Merrill, who had a wonderful year in San Diego as a rookie of the year. And any other year, he wins it. But Skeens was that much better. So this year's not been all of what we saw last year. Still, he's had some very good performances. And I would expect that to be the norm, not the the aberration here. So.
Well, that's good to hear. Okay.
All right. They have more problems than him, Jill. That's the problem. It goes well beyond Paul Skeens. One bad outing, I'm willing to understand that. He'll be back, and I'm sure he'll make a difference as he moves forward. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. One more before we go to break, and that's Jim in Brookline. Hello, Jim. How are you this morning? Or afternoon.
Hey, Bob, how are
Where
you?
Are we? Afternoon now. I'm sorry.
How are you, Bob?
I'm good, thanks.
First and foremost, my condolences for the loss of your friend.
Yeah. Sandy Allison, rest in peace. Tremendous lady, and like I said, she was kind of the face of our golf tournament and why we do it. But thank you.
Absolutely. You're welcome. Listen, one of the most frustrating things for me is Pittsburgh fans. All right, if a pitcher goes out, a mediocre pitcher goes out and throws a phenomenal game, it's not like Pittsburgh fans are like, oh, this guy is going to be fantastic. You know, Paul Skeens go out and have one bad outing, and everyone loses their mind. You know, the Pirates' problem is Mark Skeens having one bad outing. It starts at the top with Nutting, the general manager, and we have to get rid of the manager. I don't think guys play well or perform well when the team is doing as poorly as it is collectively.
I also think it has a negative effect on people, maybe like Paul Skeens. You know, you go through this over and over again where you don't get the kind of support you need in terms of offense. It makes you pitch a little bit differently, maybe. You know, you know you're in a very fine line. You can't, and that's what I thought Andrew Heaney was doing. He had two very good outings in a row, you know, shutouts. And then in that last outing, he's four innings. He put 11 up, 11 down at one point, and then it's still scoreless in the fifth inning. So at some point, the offense should make life a little easier for pitchers at times.
Absolutely, I agree. Thanks for taking my call, Bob.
All right, Jim, thank you for the call. We do appreciate that at 412-928-9370. Once again, I want to thank our sponsors at PNC Bank. Make today the day and check out all the good stuff they have on their virtual wallet. It is something that changes your financial freedom. Believe me, it does for me because I can't add or subtract, so it does it all for me. Also, number one Cochrane, go one better, ride in style. Number one Cochrane, so many different places you can go and shop. And it's the title sponsor of our number one Cochrane Sports Showdown. That's on tomorrow night, every Sunday night, 11:35. Shendorovich, and Fishman, where you know they got your back and not your wallet. We'll be back to wrap things up. More calls, too. 412-928-9370. Let me know what you think. Jason Mackey, top of the hour. We're back after this update from Joel Nelson. Once again, a reminder to you, tomorrow night, 11:35, it's the number one Cochrane Sports Showdown. On the program will be Andrew Filippone, Brian Batko, and Jason Mackey, who will be in here in moments as he takes you through the afternoon, including the North Shore Tavern leadoff show. And the Pirates, man, they better get things together. 12-21, falling fast. I don't know how you turn things around given their offense and given what they've been doing here, but it's just not good enough. Tommy Pham, no home runs. Brian Hayes, one home run. I mean, at some point you got to get production from people, and they're just not getting it from people you would expect it to be. And so Valdez has done pretty well given his time in there, but still not good enough. They've been searching for first basemen forever. I mean, at some point you got to come up with somebody, and they just haven't done it. They can't draft them, develop them, or bring them in on free agent contracts, and they need to do better. It's as simple as that, and yet it seems so difficult. 412-928-9370. Again, we started this program talking about Mike Sullivan, and a friend of mine, Chris. Chris Sheehan, it reminded me the one team I was leaving out of seven openings was the Boston Bruins. I had Philly, the one here in Pittsburgh, Chicago, Anaheim, Seattle, Vancouver, and now the Boston Bruins, all looking for head coaches. So, you know, if you're Kyle Dubas, you got to know, too, that a lot of these guys who are out there being looked at are going to be guys that other teams want and covet as well. And so he seems to be deliberate in this, how long it's going to take. But if you wait too long, you may end up not getting a really guy that you want, because some of these teams are going to be quick to make a decision, I would think. When you have seven openings and only a few, you know, candidates really legitimately that you would want, you better move quickly. One of them is Rick Tocchet, who decided to leave Vancouver. But he's been, you know, through a lot over there in the last year and a half. They had really good success last year. I think they had 109 points. This year they had all sorts of internal problems, and maybe it got too much for him. They offered him a nice contract to stay, even though they didn't pick up his option, and he decided to move on. Where will he land? Would the Penguins be a landing spot? How about Philadelphia? He's played in both places. So we'll see. Chicago, Anaheim, both in major rebuilds. It could be a while there. You got to have some patience, whoever gets that job. Seattle, Vancouver, to different levels in terms of they're not rebuilding, but they're looking for answers quickly. So, again, there's pressure that comes with that. Sullivan gets what is believed to be the largest contract in NHL history. No details on it. I believe he was making $6 million here a year, so it's got to be more than that, of course. And we'll find out what that is. But congratulations to him. I mean, he 10 years here, parlayed that into a great opportunity. Of course, it helps to have a GM who's really one of your best confidants, I would think, and Chris Drury, who played for Mike Sullivan, also was with him on the Four Nations and a lot of the USA hockey stuff. And remember, Sullivan's going to be the coach of the USA hockey team in the Olympics coming up in 2026. So there's a lot to like there, and what his staff will be like. It may include John Tortorella or not. We'll see. But there's a lot of interesting stuff going on today. I want to set the table for you with, again, I keep bringing this up, the dilemma that Denver sports fans have. They have two game sevens tonight, two of their prominent teams. First off, at 7:30, the LA Clippers have forced game seven with Denver. So the Nuggets will be at home at 7:30. That's winner take all and move on. And then at 8 o'clock, you have the Colorado Avalanche, also based in Denver, of course, against Dallas in Dallas. So if you're one of those channel surfers, man, you got a lot of work to do tonight. Or you can take a different approach. And I think Joel had a good note. Go to a bar if that's where you want to see both. As long as they're both up. Sometimes you go into a bars and you say, okay, I want this up, and somebody else wants something else up, and, you know, I don't know. I would stay at home. I would figure out a system, and whether it be record one game, watch the other, and when the other's done, go to the recorded game or not. The one thing you must do if you're interested in doing that theory is you better be off social media, because you'll hear and see everything. Right, Joel? You don't want to see it. If you're doing that strategy, you got to turn your phone off completely. You won't entertain any thoughts from anyone. You just want to watch in peace.
Just go leave it on, like, the charger or something in the other room. Another thing we didn't mention was, with modern technology now, there are some people who can do a split screen and have two games at once. I'm not crazy about that. If it's only two games, maybe I could do that for, like, four, really get my money's worth on it, but it is possible to...
Oh, sure. I mean, you can do a lot of that. Still, I want to be engaged in one at a time, really. If I'm looking at if I'm covering this team on a local basis or watching, I don't want to be going back and forth, and there could be big plays going on, and then my attention is diverted from a big play on the other one. So that's how I would do it, but that's old school, I'm sure. By the way, in that Avalanche series, it's interesting, Jared Bednar, who's the head coach of the Avs, is 0-3 in game sevens, where Peter DeBoer, head coach of Dallas, is 8-0. And of course, he's been around different teams, but still 8-0 is a pretty good thing. The other thing, there'll be a game seven coming up tomorrow in the NBA. In case you missed it last night, Golden State lost at home. Houston suffocated them, especially in the fourth quarter defensively. And then Golden State got just crazy, throwing up threes from all over for no reason, but they were down by 17 points. They had to do something. Fred VanVleet, 29 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. And then Alperen Şengün is a guy, he's 22, man. You watch out for this guy in the NBA. He's really good, 21 points, 14 rebounds. All right, that's going to wrap it up for me today. I really want to appreciate all the people who called in and made this possible. And also a big thank you to those of you who have hit me up on social media. And those who didn't get through, well, try again next week and throughout the course of the week, certainly on the Pomp and Joe Show with Joe Starkey coming up here next Monday. And we'll see what goes on. We need some action, though, in Pittsburgh sports. Things are kind of dead right now. You got to have something propelling the conversation moving forward, because the Aaron Rodgers stuff is getting kind of old. But there will be talk about coaches coming and going here. We'll see what Mikhail Dubas will do as well. Tonight, Riverhounds at home. They'll be taking on North Carolina FC. I haven't been home in about a month. If you get down to Highmark Stadium, you'll be treated to a very nice family atmosphere and a beautiful view of the city. And we'll see if they can get on the winning track here at home again. Riverhounds in North Carolina. That game will also be on KDK. Plus, if you can't make it over to Highmark Stadium. Kentucky Derby, journalism is the favorite. That's something a lot of people haven't said recently, but that they're the favorite of 3-1. I like American Promise. Anything American makes me happy. I'll say American Promise will be my pick, although they're 30-1 long shots. But, hey, that's how you make money, right? Coming up, it's Jason Mackey. I want to thank Joel Nelson. Joel, thank you very much for being here, doing all your work. And we'll see you again tomorrow night, 11:35, number one Cochrane Sports Showdown. Every night of the week at 10:35 on KDK Plus, we present the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call. For Joel Nelson, I'm Bob Pompeiani. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Jason Mackey will guide you through the rest of your afternoon right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.